There we go. It would seem that I have sorted out. I don't know what happened. Apparently, I just have to stop and start the broadcasting software at least once every time we stream. But we're back up. Goodness. Hello, nerds. Thank you for joining me again for another live episode of the news. Starting a little late, aside from the technical issues, just because rent is a pain in the butt. That's all you're getting for that. Thank you either way for joining me. If you are here right now in chat or if you are in post, I appreciate it either way. We are going to get to the news, but before we do, have to do some follow-ups on the housekeeping. We have next week, I already told you we were going to be going dark for personal reasons, family time and such. And the week following, I was planning on at least doing one of the two regular shows. And then I got some news that means we're going to go dark for 1 week. And then next week, there's going to be different content because I wasn't necessarily planning on covering it this year, but Starfest is happening 2 weeks from now, or two and a half, 3 weeks from now, two something. Yeah. So let me pull up a calendar so I can make sure I'm saying all of these days right. So no, next week should be normal. I take that back. Next week should be normal. It's 2 weeks out that we're going completely dark for family time. And then 3 weeks out is Starfest Denver, which means the content is going to change that week because we will be at a convention. The reason we are doing this kind of on the fly is because I've been made aware, and this is possibly breaking news because I haven't seen anybody else covering it, but I have been made aware that one of the oldest cons that I'm aware of, it's been going for 45 years, which I believe makes it older than San Diego Comic-Con, but I don't hold me to that because I don't know that for certain, but this is going to be its last year, so I had to rearrange some schedule stuff and make it happen. All of that being said, that's going to change our schedule a little ways out. So, unfortunately, that is what we're looking at. So let's jump into the news. We are having some issues again. Of course we are. But it looks like the record is going fine. It's just there's an weird thing going on with the connection to the stream. But it's going okay, I guess. So we'll just let that go. All right. So starting with our first piece has to do with CNN Plus shutting down 3 weeks into its lifespan. So, that's all we need to know. CNN Plus is dead, and I don't think anybody really is going to notice because they didn't even have 200,000 subscribers. So, yeah, this one's a good one to jump into though. Original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles voice actors return for Shredder's Revenge. This is pretty awesome. Dotemu, publisher and developer Tribute Games, in partnership with Nickelodeon, have served up an extra large portion of piping hot Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge gameplay, while revealing that the four turtles' original voice actors from the 87 cartoon will reprise their roles in game. That is awesome. The team also confirmed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Excuse me, good lord, let me take a drink. There we go. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge will receive a physical edition as well as a digital release of its Jammin' original soundtrack. That's pretty ridiculous. There is an 11-minute gameplay featurette available on the YouTubes, and you should go watch it because it's pretty awesome. It's definitely shades of the old school arcade, just like it looks, but just totally updated for a modern kind of brawler game. It looks great. And then here we go. We're getting into newly recorded voice work. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge features newly recorded voice work from the original Turtles lineup, with Cam Clark returning as Leonardo. Cam Clark also did the voice for Master Miller in Metal Gear Solid. Townsend Coleman as Michelangelo, Barry Gordon as Donatello, and Rob Paulsen as Raphael. Rob Paulsen also was Donnie in one of the later Nickelodeon series, as well as pretty much every other voice from your childhood. Players will hear their charismatic energy in battle as the Turtles sling quips and their signature phrases. Why are you using quips twice? That's just poor writing. Making the action feel even closer to the Saturday morning cartoon magic. Bless you. From the 11-minute gameplay trailer that I watched, hopefully that is still a beta test version, because there wasn't a whole lot of quips and phrases in the trailer. It was pretty much the same three quips, or not even quips, the same three sounds that the Turtles were making over and over and over again. It did sound like the original voice actors, but it was really hard telling because they were so quick and not even really words most of the time. So after its digital release, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, we're going to have to abbreviate that, we'll score physical editions courtesy of Limited Run Games in the U.S., Merge Games in Europe, Happinet Corporation in Japan, and H2 Interactive across the rest of Asia. PAX East attendees are encouraged to practice their ninjutsu this weekend with a playable debut. Oh, they're going to have a playable demo of TMNT at PAX East. That's cool. Lucky. April 21st through 24th, it'll be booth number 12043 in the Expo Hall. So if you're going to PAX East, there you go. That's pretty awesome. That, I'm not going to lie, super excited for that game. Moving on, Zack Snyder's Justice League Oscar is embarrassing to Hollywood, claims Insider. What? What did they win an Oscar for? Talk about the Warner Bros. Discovery DC shakeup. Also discussed the Snyder Cut, pointing out that to fans that the awards Snyder's Justice League movie won weren't Oscars at all. She says Hollywood doesn't like the Oscars cheer. Oh, fan favorite and Oscars cheer. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Because I didn't watch the Oscars. Nobody did, really. Dungeons & Dragons movie title reveal. There we go. That's a good one. Honor Among Thieves. Official title for the movie coming out in 2023 as revealed by Paramount Pictures and directors John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein at today's D&D Direct event. It looks like there is a trailer as well. Oh no, it's an announcement teaser, so probably not a whole lot. Highlights from the D&D Direct. Let's check this out too. Spelljammer. Adventures in Space is a campaign setting unlike any other, containing everything a D&D a DM needs to run adventures set in wild space, with new options for players who want to create characters at home in this new setting. That's cool. It's a new guidebook. Also announced today are three new 64-page hardcover books, The Astral Adventurer's Guide, which is a campaign-setting book that includes space-based character options. That's so much fun. Spells and magic items, deck plans, and descriptions for spell jamming tips. Boo's Astral Menagerie, featuring over 60 creatures found in wild space and the astral sea, including astral elves, cosmic horrors, lunar and solar dragons, murder comets, what is this, and space clowns. Man, I gotta find a D&D game to get in on once these come out. And then Light of Azarixis, an adventure of for dungeon masters set in the astral plane and designed for characters of levels 5 through 8. That's kind of hilarious and also pretty awesome, not gonna lie. Baldur's Gate 3, also from the D&D Direct event. Baldur's Gate 3, look at the progress that has been made since the beginning of the game's early access and ahead of its launch in 23. There have been several major patches released so far, including new classes, graphic improvement, and gameplay. Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, the new D&D book, another book. Campaign case creatures, creatures book, it looks like. This campaign case equips the DM with a large set of customizable creature tokens that will complement any D&D adventure or homebrew campaign. 64 weighted plastic discs in three sizes. Campaign case terrain, D&D movie, we just talked about that. Starter set, Dragons of Stormwreck Isle. Brand new starter set featuring not only the new adventures, Dragons of Stormwreck Isle, but also more streamlined onboarding experience for new players. That's cool. Digital Monstrous Compendium. A digital resource available for all owners of a Wizards account for D&D Beyond account, or a D&D Beyond account, with Volume 1 including 10 monsters from the Spelljammer setting and more content over time. Neverwinter Dragon Slayer. The hunt begins this June in Neverwinter's next major module, Dragon Slayer. God, this was huge, apparently. French, Italian, German, and Spanish product launches. That's awesome. D&D all over the world, man. Lightyear trailer. I haven't watched it in its entirety. Yeah, okay. It's there if you want to go watch it. New Lightyear trailer. I don't know how excited I am about that movie, not going to lie. Godzilla. This one I saw when I was doing research for the regular episode on Wednesday and just didn't get into it because it was like Wednesday morning as I was trying to get as close to filming as possible. So I didn't have time to get into every little thing. But this one's very interesting. Activision and Legendary have announced Godzilla vs. Kong is coming to the Call of Duty Warzone video game starting on May 11th, which follows the new season launching on April 27th. Hold on to your everything. The monster of all battles is coming, teases the video description. Details include, here, this is the part that I wanted to figure out, like, what the hell this all means. Details include the Godzilla vs. Kong event is called Operation Monarch, makes sense, and will take place on the map of Caldera, but little else is known. The trailer footage shows Godzilla vs. Kong fighting, which seems to hint their battle could take place on the background as players make their way through the map. Oh, so it's inconsequential, effectively. You just have to avoid giant monsters while you're also trying to take out the other team. Could be possible that players might have to avoid the battle, but it would be really cool if players could take on the two kaiju in some way, as the description also teases the use of secret prototype weapons. No, we are not going to watch the teaser, though I really, really would want to risk it for this one. I don't want to shut down the stream. I'm sorry. So yeah, there is a new trailer for Call of Duty Warzone. That seems really interesting. I'm probably going to watch it after the stream, not going to lie. So, Operation Monarch preparations have been underway. Giant skulls and rebuilt defenses are just two of the many clues toward what will come with Operation Monarch, a special limited time event featuring the iconic titans of the Monsterverse, Godzilla and Kong. With bringing two of the largest stars in movie history to Call of Duty, Operation Monarch will introduce a new game mode for quads, based on several classic experiences with a titan-sized twist. So there is no official word as to how this is going to happen, just that it's going to happen somehow. Interesting. New Miss Marvel poster. Don't care about posters. Marvel's Moon Knight comes to Fortnite. Everything's going to Fortnite. Spider-Man Cross Spider-Verse release date gets delayed. Oh, this one, actually. While I'm thinking of it, I should open up another resource. Even though we're already kind of struggling with memory, but we're going to do it anyway. That way I can just go to That's not what I wanted. Zah. All right. Okay. Back to the news. I'm sorry for the detour. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Release date gets delayed. What's going on here? Sony has delayed Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse by 8 months. As the release date has moved from October 7th, 22 to June 2nd of 23. The flick has dropped part one from the title. But part two, the third movie in the animated franchise, is still in development and is set to be released in 24. Interesting. Oh, I got it. Okay, so it was going to say Across the Spider-Verse part one, but it doesn't anymore. So the third movie hasn't been affected by this setback, is what that's saying. Okay. Presently, the June 2nd, 23 release date is only filled with Across the Spider-Verse, and with Disney's Little Mermaid coming out a week prior, and Paramount's Transformers Rise of the Beasts getting released the week after. So it could do... I mean, it's going to do well. It's the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Instead of Across the Spider-Verse, Sony's live-action CGI musical comedy Lyle Lyle Crocodile, which is based on the book series by Bernard Wabern, will open over the October 7th through 9th weekend. That's a really weird pushback. Is there an explanation as to why? Nope. Just casting, which we already pretty much know. Okay. Rebel Moon has gone into production. This is another one that I skipped for Wednesday. The Zack Snyder quote-unquote Star Wars movie called Rebel Moon is actually going into production. They've begun principal photography for the new science fiction movie Rebel Moon, as the director tweeted first look images on Tuesday. That's Chiwetel Ejiofor, I believe. Or Jaimon Hansu, I'm sorry. Jaimon Hansu as General Titus. That's pretty cool looking. Very, like, Roman feeling going on with that armor. Images feature a look at Jaimon Hansu as General Titus and a look into, or look inside and outside the cockpit of some sort. Huh. Lots of green paint. And that is quite the apparatus right there. That's pretty cool looking, though. Oh, I see. That's the cockpit, and so all the green is where they're going to have where they can cut around it and then add the ship in post. That's cool. All right, I get you. Rebel Moon. I don't believe there is a set release date for this yet, but it is part of Snyder's Netflix contract. Woke media takes a beating. Netflix, Disney, Twitter, CNN, Elon Musk responds. Eater. Yeah, all right. That is our first source exhausted. Let's move right along. We're going to go... let's just go straight to We Got This Covered so we can get a good laugh in first. Then we'll go try and dig out some music stuff. Ooh, We Got This Covered has had a little bit of a cosmetic upgrade. Hopefully it's less of a headache to look at it. Probably not. Northman fans say the film's only flaw is not enough Bjork. Ba-dum-ba-dum. It's always so hard to find something good on We Got This Covered. Maybe we should stop doing this for the live show. Not gonna lie. Underrated sci-fi gem pushes the boundaries of science science too far on streaming. Nope. These are not news. Yeah. This is... No, you made me check the camera, but I did not have to, technically didn't have to move it. I just moved it so I'm more visible. But best nature, why Alexander Skarsgård pantless in his IMDb profile pic? That's from MTV Movie Awards, I think. Oh Lord, this is so dumb. Nothing. Sorry, Johnny Internet. Names Gene Wilder, best Willy Wonka. That's accurate. All right. Yeah, I think next week we will not be using We Got This Covered in the live show, just because it takes so much digging to get to anything even kind of newsworthy. X-Men fans debate how big an impact mutants will have in the MCU. That is not news. Yeah, this is... Their redesign is not... Not a help. It's a little bit more of a hindrance. Raimi teases Doctor Strange's journey into the multiverse of madness. 10-year-old thriller nobody remembers suddenly gets a second wind on streaming. Yeah, we're just gonna skip the movie section from these guys because dumb. Attack on Titan is even more terrifying in the English dub. Halo confirms Brute at the end of episode 5 is legendary Atriox. Okay. Ozark final episodes. Ayula Smart joins Wheel of Time. This is... painful. Like, this is not really... We'll go 2 pages deep like we did for movies, but it doesn't seem like there's anything to talk about here. Oscar Isaac's brother and stand-in was called Mork Sphincter on Moon Knight's set. That's funny. House of the Dragon, was twice as expensive to make as Game of Thrones. Good Lord. Creators, this... I'm sorry. Stranger Things 4 could be the most expensive TV show in history. We're just gonna go straight here, and hopefully comicbook.com will be a little bit better. Movie news. We should try and do... That's another thing we're going to have to implement going forward is some of the leakers on the Twitters. Try and just have them open before we start streaming, because there's some interesting stuff about Doctor Strange 2 from some of the leakers. Specifically that we're going to... Well, let's see if I can just find an article about it, because somebody has to have talked about it. Let's see... Would they be on Bounding? Maybe. Bounding Into Comics might have something. Taylor Sheridan explains the key to a successful story, criticizes new crop of imitators. We'll do this in a different window just in case there's nothing there. But I think I can find it pretty quick because it's my time to actually. No, let's go here. No, lordy. There. All right, so my time to shine, hello, and my time, wake up, there we go. Yeah, this is definitely even more painful than going through. We got this covered just because it's somebody's Twitter account. Daniel Rickman usually see, this is why we did this in a different window, because I think I got the name wrong. There it is. Daniel RPK, that's right. Okay. Okay, so I think he's the one that was leaking the info on Doctor Strange. But can we, let's turn off retweets. Oh, but it doesn't do it on his feed, only in mine. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be even more of a pain in the ass to dig through this. Oh, Fast 10 revealed the new logo for the movie. Fast X! Dum dum dum. It's not going to be easy to find. So, if I can remember correctly, because it's going to take a little bit of doing, and since we're live, that's boring to listen to. there is still the potential. So, we're very likely going to see, according to rumor, very likely going to be seeing John Krasinski will actually be in the movie, if you want to believe the rumor, as a version of Mr. Fantastic, though again, probably not going to be the one going forward in the MCU. There's also still strong probability we're going to see Tom Cruise's Iron Man show up, as well as most of the other rumored cameos, but the reshoots kind of changed the nature of those cameos. They are going to be much faster and less important to the plot, though the Krasinski one, and also they got rid of the character that... Oh, Lord, I am brain farting now. I got all hung up on... trying to find the actual leaks. I can't think of people's names right now. Bruce Campbell. There we go. They got rid of the character that Bruce Campbell was supposed to be playing in order to fit Krasinski's Mr. Fantastic. So, very interesting. But aside from that, that's kind of where the rumors stand for that movie. Nicolas Cage is actually in talks for Face Off 2. Is this a legitimate story? Interesting. All right. So Nicolas Cage said, "Where? Who is he talking with? Could you give me the?" He's talking. It doesn't say who he's talking to, but it's in an interview doing promotion for Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. He said, "I can talk Face-Off sequel. I can talk about because there have been some phone calls with Neil Moritz, who I enjoy very much working with on the first Face-Off." Cage said, "He's somebody. He's one of the great producers in Hollywood, and they have been making some calls. The other ones, like National Treasure, I mean, their priority was a TV show. Godspeed to them, but maybe Face-Off, maybe." So." Early talks, it sounds like, for a Face-Off 2. Is this something we really need? I mean, was it really that epic of a movie? I mean, it was pretty good, but I wouldn't say it's one that needs a sequel. Salem's Lot, Stephen King reboot gets theatrical release date. All right, see, this is what is news here. We're on comicbook.com now, so... we could also go deeper into Bounding, because they usually have some pretty good ones, too. But that's also a lot more divisive, and I don't feel like sifting through the bias, necessarily, right now. Alright, so Salem's Lot. New adaptation of Stephen King's Salem's Lot has been in the works for quite some time. Yes, we've talked about it a number of times on the channel. Studio Warner Brothers, per Bloody Disgusting, finally confirming that the film will be landing in theaters this fall. That's really cool. Release date itself isn't actually new, as its release was announced last year, but given the number of changes and updates various projects have earned, it will surely come as a relief to fans that the project hasn't been postponed. Additionally, the latest information confirms that the film will... slated for theatrical release as opposed to debut on HBO Max. Salem's Lot currently touts a September 9th release date. King's website describes the story. Author Ben Mears returns to Salem's Lot to write a book about the house that has haunted him since childhood, only to find his isolated hometown invested with vampires. While the vampires claim more victims, Mears convinces a small group of believers to combat the undead. The film will star Lewis Pullman, Mackenzie Lee, Alfre Woodard, Bill Camp, John Benjamin Hickey, Nicholas Crovetti, Jordan Preston Carter, William Sadler, Spencer Treat Clark, Cade Woodward, Deborah Christofferson, and Pailu Asbank. Gary Doberman both wrote and directed this new adaptation of the novel. I don't know any of those names, unless this Lewis Pullman is Bill Pullman's son, or something therein. The movie director calls the Dark Universe film the biggest failure of my life. Yeah, no kidding. Ooh, Night Sky. New trailer for a new Amazon Prime, I believe, movie, obviously, because we're in movies, but... Oh, no, it's a series. New series hitting Amazon Prime next month. We'll see a team-up between two Academy Award-winning actors, Sissy Spacek and J.K. Simmons. Night Sky is an upcoming science fiction drama from Amazon Studios and Legendary Television. And a new trailer for the series teases a lot of intrigue. Again, not watching trailers on the live stream, but... This one looked pretty cool. Definitely worth a watch. The trailer, at least, because the... Well, let's get back into it, because I don't know when it's set to debut on Prime. Friday, May 20th. So we have a few weeks yet. Next page, please. Comic book. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness gets banned in Saudi Arabia. Weird. Lord of the Rings, Gandalf the White, Funko Pop. Keira Knightley says, daughter is completely uninterested in watching her movies. Okay. See, sometimes comic book has some non-news things, but by and large, they're much more consistent, I feel like. Batman streaming premiere. In case you did not know, because we didn't talk about it on the last show, on the regular show this week, it is on HBO Max now. I think is because I didn't actually see it until after I had filmed. Matt Reeves reboot starring Robert Pattinson. It's not a reboot. It's an alternate universe version of the story. Scored a strong first day streaming premiere on... Oh, and we also... There was something else on Cosmic. Let's go to Cosmic again, because there was something on the side over here that I wanted to... Or not. Was it... Yeah, it must have been. It must have been we got this covered then. Oops. Had to do with Mortal Kombat. Give me a search. Mortal Kombat. I believe it was Mortal Kombat doing better than the Snyder Cut. What the heck? There's no search option on Cosmic Book. Lame. Totally lame. I should have just clicked it when I saw it. All right, back to the regular news. My apologies for the bird walking. So, strong first day streaming numbers for The Batman on HBO Max. 720,000 U.S. households watched The Batman on its first day. That's pretty huge. Made $752 million globally, become the highest grossing film of 2022, which is not necessarily saying much, but it's pretty big for DC. That is good for future Batman movies and future DC movies, actually. Johnny Depp, currently in litigation. Hopefully that turns out well. We will probably touch on that in the next the regular episode. Knives Out 2 star Janelle Monáe comes out as non-binary. I thought that already happened, like, years ago. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm remembering things wrong. Or she at least came out as gay, something. Spider-Man stars Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire eager to work together again. What are they implying? Let's see. It's probably nothing. Entertainment Tonight, Garfield discussed the night and even went on to reveal that he'd love to work with Maguire again. I would love to work with Toby again. I mean, like, he's such a great actor and he's a good buddy and I just really love him. I love spending time with him. This is, gossip. Oh, it's gossip. HBO Max claims to be effectively managing password sharing. Okay. John Carpenter releases first track from Stephen King reboot score. Oh, that's fun. The Firestarter reboot. So this is another Stephen King IP coming out. Keith David reveals if he'd voice Beta Ray Bill for Marvel. Of course he would. Marvel would give him stacks and stacks of cash. Not that, I mean, Keith David is a great actor, or a great voice actor at least, but... In a New York minute, he says. Of course he does. He ain't stupid. Dragon Ball Super. How Lightyear brought the evil Emperor Zurg back to the big screen. Hmm. Oops. Did I go the wrong direction? I think I might have gone the wrong direction. Gotta go there. It reveals inspiration from film classic Taxi Driver. Really? Ah, that was not a secret. Whereof by night, Lara Donnelly reportedly playing Elsa Bloodstone in the Disney Plus project. That's cool. Robert Morse from Mad Men and Teen Titans Go, dead at 90. That's unfortunate. Tony Award-winning actor, whose credits include Mad Men and Teen Titans Go, as well as How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, has passed away. Does not say what took him. No. We're getting fresh eggs. Oh, yummy. That's unfortunate. Does not say what how he passed. Yeah, no cause of death was given. How very sad. That's he was the old advertising guy from Mad Men. Batman Year One influenced Bruce Wayne's drifter look. That makes sense. We have... Ugh, I don't care about Stephen Colbert. Fast X. Vin Diesel says, Fast and Furious 10 script excluded major character. I'm not buying into the clickbait, I'm sorry. Disney suspends film... What? Oh, filming on Aziz Ansari's Being Mortal with Bill Murray after investigating complaint. All right, let's look into this. Surprising but vague announcement. The Walt Disney Company's Searchlight Pictures has suspended production on the upcoming movie Being Mortal, which has comedian Aziz Ansari behind the camera in his directorial debut. Ansari was previously confirmed to star in the film as well, appearing alongside both Bill Murray, Seth Rogen, and Kiki Palmer. That's not a both. Appearing alongside, and then you don't have to say both. Just say appearing alongside these three actors. According to Deadline, filming on the project was about halfway done before an abrupt halt on shooting started this week, which is not COVID-19 related. Though it's unclear what occurred, a letter from the studio to the crew confirmed that they're stopping production after a complaint was filed and investigated with an eye toward resuming production at a later date still in the cards. Weird. Doesn't say what the complaint was anywhere, but... And then it goes on to explain what Being Mortal is. Based on a book by Atul Gawande. Huh, interesting. I have to keep tabs on that. Let's... Boom, 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 boom. I think we're going to move to... Comic book news. Hello, comic book news. Devil's Reign Omega first look teases Marvel's new Thunderbolts team. That's right, the new Daredevil as well, huh? Luke Cage replacing Wilson Fisk as the new mayor of New York City. One of his first tasks will be reclaiming the Thunderbolts name and appointing Hawkeye as the team's new leader. Thunderbolts miniseries is on the way from Jim Zub. Not opposed to Jim Zub as a writer. I'm not super well versed in his stuff, but I do know a little bit, and what I remember is not bad. Artist Sean... Oh, there is a spider on my light. Artist Sean Isaacsi and Hawkeye leading America Chavez, with Hawkeye leading America Chavez, Spectrum, the younger Power Man, Persuasion, Purple Man's daughter, Persuasion. Redundant much? And a new character named Guts and Glory. That's funny. The first look at Devil's Reign Omega number one teases the creation of Marvel's heroic Thunderbolts. Where is... you gotta have... There we go. Some artwork from it. Lady Daredevil. Yeah, I'm digging this art. There's a little bit of perspective issues here. His head is way too tiny in that panel, but he's not leaning backwards, is he? But otherwise, that art looks pretty great. Raphael Di Latore. Also issues here with Daredevil's face. Like, proportions are just way off. Very interesting. Like, when it's good, but when it's bad, it's glaring. Those proportions are fantastic, so I don't know why those two panels are bad. Anyway, so that's pretty interesting. Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson debate who will claim the Captain America mantle. Ooh, this one looks better. Marvel's Predator comic finally gets new release date. There we go. Disney's acquisition of 20th Century Fox brought a number of exciting properties into the ownership of the company, which includes the Predator franchise. While the idea of Predator becoming a Disney movie might have been perplexing to some audiences, it also meant Marvel Comics could begin developing comic series inspired by the Intergalactic Hunter, with the first issue of Predator set to hit shelves this summer. Predator number one on shelves July 6th. I'll be right back. Oh, okay. Lo siento. I had a spider climbing, went from the light to the microphone, apparently in the blink of an eye. So that was very strange. But we have returned. And yes. So July 6th, Predator comes out. Marvel announcement. Excuse me. Marvel Comics is proud to bring readers thrilling new stories starring this lethal terror in a brand new comic series written by Ed Brisson. I like Brisson. Brisson's all right. And artist Kev Walker. Predator will deliver all the explosive action and relentless horror that fans have come to expect from this pop culture icon. I'm liking the cover art. Who did the cover? Story kicks off when a young girl sees her family slaughtered by a predator. Years later, though, her ship is barely holding together and food is running short, Theta won't stop stalking the spaceways until the Yautja... Is that right? Yautja? I don't think that's right. I feel like I remembered the name of the predator species being slightly different than that. Who killed her family is dead, or she is. Yeah, number one on the shelves July 6th. It doesn't give who did the cover art. That sucks. But it's great cover art. Like, that's fantastic. TMNT Last Ronin preview. Last Ronin number 5 teases Mikey's final strike. Spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't read Last Ronin yet. Sorry. years in the making, The Last Ronin is everything I dreamed it could be, Turtle creator and Last Ronin co-writer Kevin Eastman previously said in a statement. For the creative team, I feel the epic task of bringing this story to life has truly been our Mount Everest. And with the summit in sight, we sincerely wish to thank all the friends and fans who brought the love and support needed so we could bring the adventure all the way home. From my original partner on this journey, the brilliant Peter Laird, to the unparalleled skills of Tom Waltz, incredibly gifted Esau and Isaac Escorza, Ben Bishop and Luis Antonio Delgado, as well as rock-solid IDW backbone and Nickelodeon commitment to make sure we had the time to get it right. We've given it our best shot, and I could not be prouder of everyone involved. That's really cool. Last Ronin number 5 will be in stores April 27th, so next week. It's such a cool take on, you wouldn't expect Mikey to be the last one left. You know what I mean? He's arguing with his brothers who aren't there. Rough, bud. Oh, man. Cool. All right. Well, I think that gets us pretty close. We're going to do some music real quick, but that's going to be it for the, for the news portion this week. So hitting up Metal Injection, see what they have for news. Weekly Injection, new releases. And let's not go through new releases. We went through upcoming releases last week. Lamb of God saga. Randy Blythe has come down with the COVID, so he has been out of two shows. The first show the band I was just about to open that up. All right, so Randy Blythe got the COVID, had to drop out of the Michigan show, I believe. Grand Rapids, Michigan, yeah, on April 19th. Mark Hunter from Chimera covered him that night. Alongside Anders Frieden of In Flames and Matt Heafy from Trivium, all took over on vocal duties the night of the 19th. The following night, April 20th, Hunter was sick. So Mark Hunter, once again from Chimera, couldn't cover the following night, so they did not play. Lamb of God had to cancel that show, sadly. I mean, the rest of the show happened, so Megadeth, Trivium, and In Flames all played, but yeah, did not play for the 21st in Fort Wayne. So yesterday did not happen with Lamb of God. That is highly unfortunate. Hopefully Randy and Mark both get better soon. Rammstein to stream new album in theaters. Everybody, a band that does things in the usual way, that is true. This time is no different. Rammstein has announced they'll release a new music video, Angst, alongside the full album premiere of Zeit in Dolby Atmos at movie theaters across the world on April 28th. So again, next week. Which theaters are premium? Yeah, there's a link here. So if you go to the Metal Injection article, or I will try and put it in the notes on the post, but I can't guarantee I will A, have the time, or B, remember, Zigzag and Zeit both are streaming. We have not done our due diligence for the reaction videos yet, but they're coming, I promise. And the updated tour dates, in the States at least, start here, Minneapolis, the Bank Stadium, and then they're at Philadelphia, Chicago, New York City, East Rutherford, and then Boston, Foxborough, San Antonio, LA two nights in a row, and then Mexico City three nights in a row. But that's pretty limited in the U.S. The theater that they're releasing. Ba-bum, ba-bum. Yeah, that would be great if we can catch a Rammstein show, but nah, it does not appear it's going to be easy. Caliban's new record Dystopia came out, and it is worth a listen. You should listen to it because Caliban is pretty dang good. Black Dahlia Murders, Trevor Strand doing some videos on OnlyFans with his girlfriend. Really? Who wants to see Trevor Strand naked outside of maybe his girlfriend? Ooh, that's... Deftones bassist Sergio Vega discusses his split from the band and new project with Spotlight's drummer. Parted ways with Deftones 21 over contract dispute because he was never, they never officially brought him in as part of the band. I believe we talked about this actually last week in the live stream. So he says, so I came in during something very traumatic with Chi because Chi Chang died a little while after he was hospitalized for a car accident. He continues, I came into an album, Eros, which was kind of unfinished. My understanding was that the label wasn't planning on releasing it. They weren't excited about it. We were just going to kind of part ways with the label. But producer Nick Raskulden something came into the picture, and somehow the severance money went on to fund Diamond Eyes. And so let's give it another shot with another record. And all of that energy and some altruality and trauma was all expressed in that creating it what it was. Now, when I came into the band, I was open to whatever. My friends were in need. What do you guys need? Do you want me to play bass? You want me to play banjo? You want me to do whatever? And they were like, hey, you brought in Quicksand. What? Hey, what you brought in Quicksand, what you did, we are not entirely sure, but we loved Quicksand. Chi loved Quicksand. We want to bring you into the band over time. And this is how it worked with Frank. And this is how it's going to work with you. And so I brought my writing, my arranging, and myself. And that was it. And so over the years, I started to become like, hey, I would really like to belong to this. And whenever it would come up, it was really more like they were good with the status quo. It was not financial because they were like, oh, there's money. Here's a raise. It was never about money. It was about the sense of belonging. Yeah, so he's just basically reiterating everything that we already know. And then he has new project with Spotlight drummer Chris Enriquez, the new song they're working on with X Every Time I Die, Keith Buckley. Interesting. Be very interested to see what Buckley can do in something that's not Every Time I Die. Cool. That's pretty dang cool. Avenged Sevenfold vocalist lays out timeline for new album. I wonder... He looks like he's younger now. Is that what he... It's because he's fat now. Because he got money, so he plumped up. So when they were young and hungry, he was... What did Ryan Reynolds describe himself as? A thin whisper? Thin skin-colored whisper? Yeah, that was totally Shadows. Only he wasn't skin-colored. He was pasty. A thin, pasty whisper. Avenged Sevenfold recently recorded all the orchestral parts for their new album with a 78-piece orchestra. Drummer Brooks Wackerman. What a great name for a drummer, right? Vocalist M. Shadows provided a few photos from the session at the time, with Wackerman adding that the new record is unlike anything we've ever released. Well, I should hope so, because I'm pretty sure it's the first one with Wackerman, actually. Avenged Sevenfold made it well known that the part of the reason they couldn't complete the work on their new album during the pandemic was because they couldn't safely get an entire orchestra into a room, so this was pretty exciting news. Shadows laid out the band's plans so far to get the record done. Shadows says, Avenged Sevenfold plans to get back to work in May, get it mixed in August by Andy Wallace. Cool. Wallace does some really great stuff. Really great stuff. And then out later in 22 or in early 23. Status is interesting. We recorded an album a few years ago, he says. We haven't finished it yet. We kind of took some time off for our family, COVID, weird touring circumstances, some changes with our team, and we are still currently with one record left on Warner Brothers Records. We'll be finishing that record up. I think we have May locked out for when our producer can get back to work on it. Just holding it in his mouth. Nice. Then we're going to mix with Andy Wallace in August, and then we're going to figure out if the first quarter or fourth quarter or whatever we're going to do. So the status is that. And then we're going to be booking tours, put the tickets on sale when the record comes out, and the whole nine yards. So nothing about their NFT scam. The fans just don't understand NFTs. Nah, bro, you don't understand NFTs. So yeah, I think that's, and then Limp Bizkit, proper dad vibes video. That's pretty funny. Vain FM drummer breaks wrist. Oh no. Oh no, that's horrible. Those guys are totally worth a listen. You should go check them out. And that really sucks. That looks like a whole lot of crap that his hand is into. I just realized that his arm is not going in one direction, but two. Ginger cancels Latin American tour, to be expected. They canceled everything else up until now. I think they're still doing fundraising stuff for Ukraine, since that's where they're from. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're doing that big French metal show. Was that on Metal Injection or Loudwire? I'll go hit up. There's a tour. That's Loudwire. Let's go to Loudwire real quick, and then we'll call this a news portion. Loudwire. Because there is a huge show in France that we simply must talk about. Lamb of God recruit fit for an autopsy singer as fill-in. Interesting. Didn't see that over on Metal Injection. You guys are slacking, Metal Injection. Where is the announcement for that show? Buck Cherry, don't care. Matt Heafy subs for Randy Blythe. Probably. Jimmy Eat World, Dance Gavin Dance, and then we're back. Oh, come on now. Where is it? There's a huge French show. Gwar considering country EP to coincide with graphic novel. Of course they are. Muse Paramore wants you to guess the intro in new Hurdle games. Okay. Shimani Swings, don't care. Bring Me the Horizon. Bum, 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 bum. Where is it? Pop Evil. Good night. Depp asked about drug use with famous rockers during Heard trial. Oh my God. One of his best friends is Keith Richards. Come on now.
It is Hellfest.
Hellfest? The French Hellfest.
Yeah.
So if I search, it's on Loudwire. Hellfest. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so Hellfest 2022. Let us go over this lineup real quick, shall we? Open image in new. Yeah. That's not it. Yes, it is. That's all in French. Wait a minute. That's 2019 and 2020. Fest will be back up on June 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. That's right, right? Hellfest website. Here we go. Oh, Lord. Why? Why not? 404 not found, my ass. All right, Google, let's do this. Hellfest 2022. Friday, June 17th through Sunday, June 26th. That is a long festival. There we go. I just found the website. Lineup. Full lineup. Here we go. Let's do the thing. Yeah, okay, that was right. So, we have 5 days? 7 days. We have 7 days of crazy lineups. So we're just going to go through and pick out the ones that I know, which is most of them, I would imagine. But just looking at the headliners, we have, let's see, we have a bunch of stages. So 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six, six stages for all 7 days. So again, we have just another one of these when we were young kind of situations on our hands. But it's a little bit different with the metal and hardcore community because, like, that music in that community goes out of style in a different way. It might go out of vogue in a certain sense, but it's always classic and it's always relevant if it becomes relevant in the first place. So Friday, the big headliner is the Deftones, and then right before them is Dropkick Murphys. We have Offspring. We have Volbeat that day, Five Finger Death Punch, Mastodon, Opeth, good lord, Suicidal Tendencies, Cro-Mags, it's hard for me to read some of these, Slapshot, Higher Power, Electric Wizard, Baroness, High on Fire, Black Mountain, Witchcraft, Elder, wow, At the Gates, Grave, Necrophobic, Gatekeeper, Cadaver. Oh, Mayhem, or no, that's not Mayhem. Yeah, it is. That's Mayhem. Mayhem, Aboth. Sorry, it's hard for me to read some of the band art. That's the first day. I know, Tree Roots. I can't read the Tree Roots sometimes. So that's day one. And then the big headliners, day two, Ghost at Megadeth. I think it's really crazy that Megadeth is not taking the top spot in a lot of this stuff. Like, they're currently on tour with Hatebreed and Black Label. No. Who did they go on tour with? We just talked about it in one of the previous episodes. I can't even remember. But they're, Five Finger Death Punch. They're taking second billing to Five Finger Death Punch, which is crazy. but on Saturday the 18th, they are taking second billing to Ghost, which kind of makes a little bit of sense because Ghost is kind of gigantic in Europe, which still kind of confuses the crap out of me, but whatever. Rival Sons, Heaven Shall Burn, Skillet, Knocked Loose, Crystal Lake, Fire from the Gods. That's the main stage. The second stage is Deep Purple, Airborne, Steel Panther, Ailstorm, The Darkness. What is this show? Galactic Empire. Stage three, Social D, Anti-Flag, Toy Dolls, Agnostic Front, Washington Dead Cats. Gorilla, that's not who I thought it was. Never mind. I don't know who that is. Grade two, Envy, Mono and the Joe Quail Quartet. I know surprisingly little on that stage. Very interesting. And then we have Sepultura, Sacred Reich, Flotsam and Jetsam, Exciter, Loud Blast, a couple other, Brutal Sphincter. I don't know if I've ever actually heard that band, but I've definitely heard their name before because it's pretty hilarious. And then the black metal stage, it looks like I know very little of those bands. Vreed is probably the only one I even recognize. 1184 show sounds like an interest, or they have interesting art at least. All right, so that's day two. Day three, Gojira is headlining with Korn behind them, and the main stage for day three is the reason I would go. Well, I take it back. Main stage for day five is also a fantastic reason to go. But Gojira, Korn, Maximum, the freaking Hormone. Those guys are amazing. To just go look them up on YouTube. They're from Japan. They're a little bonkers. They're kind of Japanese System of a Down, only probably better musicians. They're just fantastic. And then behind them is Ginger, who is actually playing the show. Code Orange, Lacuna Coil, Contrast. Sorry. Deadly Apples, I don't know. Judas Priest is the second stage. I don't know who's leading up to Priest, but Down is before them. Michael Schenker, Dord, Battle Beast, Tempt. I don't know all of those bands. Sick of It All is headlining third stage. Walls of Jericho, oh my god. Counterparts, Jesus Peace, those guys are pretty badass if you're into the hardcore scene. Landmarks is also pretty cool. Killing Joke headlining stage four. This is crazy. Red Fang, oh my god. Vile Creature, Ecstatic Vision, Devin Townsend is on the fifth stage headlining. Dying Fetus, Misery Index, Monuments. What is this show? And then the black metal, we have Watain and Alcest and nobody else I recognize. It's hard, really hard for me to get into the black metal. Day four is one that could probably be skipped, though these are still some heavy, heavy hitters. Scorpions headlining the main show. Very surprisingly small lineup for the main stage this day four. Scorpions, Whitesnake, UFO, Thunder, Phil Campbell, and the Bastard Sons. And that's it. We have five bands that day, whereas every other day we have at least seven. So they probably all, because they're all been around for a while, they probably all say, oh, no, we're playing for an hour, man. Stage two, I don't know War Druna. Interesting, I don't know one of the headliners. Halloween, Steve Vai, also very short sets, or very short lineups for these stages. August Burns Red, Dragged Under, wow, Worst Doubt, Jerry Cantrell headlining stage four. Lowrider is the only other one I recognize on that bill. Septic Flesh, Therion, Insomnium, oh my god. And then the black metal stage, High Lung is headlining the black metal stage for day four. That's so crazy. I want to go to France. This is awesome. Nine Inch Nails Ministry on day five, headlining main stage. Nitzer Ebb, I recognize the name. I probably couldn't recognize their music, though. Killing Joke, Health, Youth Code, Dead Heat, and Foe. Don't know Dead Heat, Youth Code, or Foe, but interesting. Alice Cooper, Megadeth is playing 2 days of this festival. Creator, Dragon Force, Danko Jones. Don't know anybody else on that lineup for that stage. Then we have the punk stage, which has been stage three. Bad Religion, Goldfinger, Melancholin. Oh my god, Opium, Do People. There's an American band that has a name very similar to that, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. Anyway, then we have the random stage. Atari Teenage Riot. That's a second headliner. I don't know. Godflesh is on this lineup. Human Impact. As a New Revolt. Decapitated on this death metal stage. Deeds of Flesh. Obscura. Wow. Benighted. Fractal Universe, Enslaved on the black metal stage, Marduk, Moonspell, Issan, Witchery. This is huge, man. This is gigantic. If you're in France, I am jealous of you right now. GNR, day six. GNR headlining, Airborne leading into it, Miles Kennedy and Company, Gary Clark Jr., oh my lord, Dirty Honey, Nightwish and Epica headlining the second stage, Blind Guardian, Symphony X, Glory Hammer, oh my god, Punk Rock Stage, The Exploited, GBH, Discharge, Touche Amore, Stereotypical Working Class, don't know anybody else on that bill, and then probably one of the coup de grace. I can't believe they didn't get higher billing on this on one of the better stages, but Converge with Blood Moon, their new project that they're doing with this other band that is just insane. In not the same kind of way you might be thinking, because Converge definitely is some abrasive music, but the Blood Moon stuff is a lot more atmospheric and elemental and just dark, and it's so good. But then you have Cadaver. There's Molasses. I know them, but the rest of this, Untitled with Drums, I like that, but I've never heard of them before. Then we have the death metal stage is Catatonia, My Dying Bride, Flesh God Apocalypse, Betraying the Martyrs, oh my hell, Drop Dead Chaos, In Extremo is the black metal stage, Moon Sorrow, and I don't recognize anybody else on the black metal stage. Conjurer, I recognize Conjurer. And then day seven, the big one, we have all of these should be... No, they're not, though. Oh, maybe they are. I just have old man eyes, and it takes me a second to read things. All right, so day seven, main stage. The lineup is Metallica, Black Label Society, Avatar, Ugly Kid Joe, Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen, Bokassa, and Spirit Box, plus one band. So somebody hasn't been announced for the two main stages for day seven. I haven't seen Skinny Puppy. Yeah, I saw Ministry. Where's Skinny Puppy? And maybe it's down on one of these other, on the final day. Because we haven't finished day seven just yet. But stage two for day seven, again, just all of the stops pulling out. Sabaton, Bring Me the Horizon, Bullet for My Valentine. I don't know Tagada Jones, but I'm sure it does well in Europe. Il Nino, Alien Weaponry, and Novelists. Comeback Kid. Oh, my God, I would kill to see those guys live. This is the hardcore stage. Comeback Kid, Suicide Silence, Madball, Lionheart, Terror, Incendiary, Judiciary, Year of the Knife. I don't know who Clowns is, but wow, that is a hardcore show. That is something that could tour the state. Like, just the first four: Comeback Kid, Suicide Silence, Madball, and Lionheart. Sub out Lionheart for Terror, and you've got something that could sell out medium to large size venues easy stateside, and that's just one fucking stage. Oh my God, so awesome! All right, then we have the random stage: is Orange Goblin, The Obsessed, I Hate God. I feel like I Hate God was on one of the other stages for one of the others. Maybe they're playing twice as well. Oh, that's what it was. Godflesh. Good call. Thou, UFO. Oh, that's not who I thought it was. Never mind. Hangman's Chair. Wow. Then the death metal stage is Napalm Death, Destruction, Memoriam, Blood Incantation, Carnation, High Command. And then the black metal stage is Merciful Fate, the black metal band, Merciful Fate, Triptychon, Arch Goat. Who else do I know on this? I think that's it. Oh, man. And apparently one of the bands that hasn't been announced, or that's not on the website at least, but is on the Gojira announcement for them being on this bill, is Skinny Puppy, which is not on this this lineup anywhere. So Skinny Puppy also going to be on one of these days. That's insane. Probably the day with Gojira, if it's on Gojira's announcement, but I just don't see it. Either way, they're going to be there, so. Oh, gotcha. So, yeah, Hellfest France, man. You got June? June 17th, 18th, and 19th, and then June 23rd through 26th. That is, oh my God, that is the show. That if you're into heavy music at any point. No, I didn't see Faith No More on here either. Are they on there? Okay. Yeah, because this is, so the tickets for this have been sold out since 2020, but they haven't been able to do the actual show until this year. The last time they did the show was 2019. Yeah, no, they're not on here. What it says on here is Nitzer Ebb, Killing Joke, Health, Youth Code, Dead Heat, and Foe. So Skinny Puppy is on the same stage as Ministry and Nine Inch Nails. That would make a whole lot of sense. That is awesome. That is such a crazy lineup. But yeah, so the tickets originally went on sale for the 2019 show. The first 3 days, so 17th, 18th, and 19th, have been sold out since then. They added the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th throughout the time because they have had to keep postponing it until now so they can finally do it. And boy, are they doing it. Holy hell, that is bonkers. That is so cool. All right, so let's... I think that's where we are going to end the news portion. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining. If you are here in chat, we are going to take a little bit of a break. Yes, I did say Nightwish. Faith No More is what day? doesn't say, but Faith No More is somewhere on that bill as well. So the bill that just won't stop also has Faith No More. So again, I am super jealous of you Frenchies because I really want to go to that show. And if you don't go to that show, then you owe me money. Either way, I appreciate you, nerds. Thank you for joining on the live news. Even if you're listening in post, I appreciate you still. Thank you very much for listening. We are going to be taking a break for those of you who are in chat right now. We will be coming back and we will be building a little bit more of our lockout Halo map in the Splitgate map editor, and then probably playing some Splitgate in Halo. So all of that being said, those of you who are stopping with the news, I appreciate you one more time, and thank you for joining us. Before we head out, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it is probably here.